God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our epistle reading from the book of Revelation, John's letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira. And as we read this letter, we might sit there and say, "That's right, John, you go and tell them." We might sit there and say, "That's right, John, not a problem, you go there." And one of the reasons why is typically when we start thinking about the sexual immoral people in this world, we usually like to think about those people out there. Because, well, how many times have you ever had an affair? How many times did you ever participate in a homosexual relationship? How many times did you ever sort of cheat, so to speak? But I'm going to venture and guess that most of you would probably say, "Not me. Not at all. I've been faithful." Great. That's wonderful. And in the process of doing that, however, you know, our pride might get a little puffed up and saying to John, "That's right, you go tell them." Because then the problem that the people in Thyatira had was they were sort of bending the sexual morality rules, so to speak. They were allowing certain things to sort of come in. There is that reference to Jezebel, sort of bringing in that Old Testament concept of Jezebel, who did not do things the Lord's way, let's just put it like that. But I'm going to need to challenge us for today. Not challenging us saying that if you haven't had an affair, go and have one. No, that wasn't the challenge. The challenge is this. When John is referring to the church, he is still referring to the church. And there's going to be some correlation between Trinity and Thyatira. What is that correlation? Well, the immoral aren't necessarily outside Trinity, but they are also inside Trinity. True, you may be faithful to your spouse, but now I have to ask you, are you faithful to God? You see, there's another lover, so to speak. Maybe not in a physical relationship that one would typically have, that we'd call sexually immorality, but a different type of relationship. For tonight, let's sort of name it the love, or the lover of self. How many times do we love ourself more than we love God? Remember in the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." What does this mean? We fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Do we truly fear, love, and trust in God above all things? Or are we sometimes motivated by our own self? And as I'm trying to phrase for tonight's text, our own love of self. See, the problem that we have is we give in to ourself many times. Self-indulgence, in one essence, is the denial of Christ. It's denying Christ for the love of oneself. And for tonight, I'm going to say the love of oneself is our lover, and that's the adulterous relationship. The immoral aren't necessarily outside the church. Yeah, we can see it, and we can see churches sort of bending the rules. In the next year, it will be kind of interesting what some of our churches will be doing. Not within the Missouri Synod, I hope, but outside. But still, we don't take a look at this text and say, "Go after them, John. John's coming after us." Because for tonight, we're going to be taking a look at the love of ourself. That self-indulgence is the denial of Christ. We got to remember what Matthew is trying to tell us. When Jesus says that if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself. How many times do we deny ourselves? Or do we just give in to our passion and our lust? Now, when we're talking about self-denial, or denying oneself versus self-indulgence, I do have to separate one particular point. It doesn't mean that we can continue to deny oneself to the point of our bodies falling apart of exhaustion or not taking care of ourselves. No, there's a difference between taking care of ourselves and indulging ourselves. In today's society, we have much too much free time, disposable income, and we spend it on ourselves. How can you tell the difference? Well, one of the questions I have to ask is, are you taking care of yourself? Are you healthy? Are you doing things the right way? Is the kingdom of God being glorified? Is your family being glorified by what you're doing? If you can't answer yes to those questions, then maybe you're in the mode of self-indulgence, which is a denial of Christ. We got to remember what Jesus says, except a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it bears fruit and multiplies. In one essence, we have to say no to ourselves. We have to remember the call of Abraham. Abraham was called by God to what? To leave behind everything he ever knew. Yeah, take Sarah, take some of his belongings. But he left his friends, his family, those connections, so to speak, all because God spoke to him. If God spoke to you and said, oh, by the way, you need to move to California, would you pack up and leave? Some of us may. Some of us may not. We get too attached to the things around us. Do we not remember Jacob when he was wrestling? One of his legs or his hips got bent out of joint, so to speak. But yet he didn't give up until he was blessed by God. How many of us would give up because of the pain and the torment and saying, it's just not worth it? But Jacob knew who he was dealing with. Likewise, in our connection with God, how often are we willing to say, okay, Lord, what can I do to your glory? Versus doing things for my glory. To deny oneself is to deny oneself even the sense of honor. Maybe instead of talking about self-denial, we need to talk about serving. Because that's where our gospel text comes in for today. Notice Jesus is here at the last day. He's separating the sheep from the goats. To the sheep, he says, come, take your inheritance. Prepared for you since the creation of the world. For when I was in need, you took care of me. And the sheep were saying, when did we take care of you? And Jesus said, whenever you've done it to the least of these brothers of mine, you did to me. Likewise, to the goats, the same level of judgment. You didn't take care of me. And the goats were saying, Lord, when did you come? We missed you. And the answer was, whenever you didn't do something to the least of these brothers of mine, you didn't do it for me. The goats were too much more concerned for themselves than their fellow human beings. It's interesting, here at Trinity, this last year, we've had the wonderful opportunity of reaching out to our community with English as a Second Language program, in which we've been having some of our volunteers come and to share their time and their skills of just what they've learned of the English language and helping students pronounce the words, helping them to understand definitions, something that would be really basic and really simple. Unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of volunteers. Likewise, our school board, we're down to 2 people. We need a few little bit more help. We have a school to run, and it needs a lot of care, a lot of love, a lot of encouragement. And it's kind of hard for 2 board members and a pastor to work on all that. It needs a little extra help. Where are we when our Lord and Savior is saying, there's some needs going on? Are we just taking care of ourselves? Well, that's good, but are we now indulging ourselves? And I don't want to look at each and every one of you and go through your whole circumstances, because only you can really answer that question. We are only given so many hours in a day. We're only given so many resources and so many gifts and so many abilities. How can we take care of ourselves, and what can we do, not only to the benefit of God's kingdom, but even to the benefit of my neighbor? And those are neighbors who don't look like us or act like us and are a little bit different. That's okay. God asks us to serve. Did we not remember what happened on that Monday, Thursday evening? Sure, we remember the Lord's Supper and we celebrate that Lord's Supper at every service. Amen. I don't have a problem with that. But there was another piece of that Monday, Thursday event where Jesus washed the disciples' feet in the role of a servant. Picture this, the Son of God, God who deserves to be served by all of us, now washing His own disciples' feet, giving us a model by which, in one essence, we're supposed to live by. How well do we serve our neighbor? I venture to say, we could probably do a better job in serving. One of the reasons why we don't do a better job in serving is we're indulging ourselves. Now let's get back to our text. So if you will allow me to sort of make that connection of self-indulgence, sort of the lover in our life, in our relationship to God, the self-indulgence is having an affair, breaking that first commandment. Now, as we take a look at our text, instead, we don't want to say, "Go, John, go." We want to say, "Wait a minute, John, hold on a second. Is there any forgiveness in here?" And so we look. In verse 20, he reminds us, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel." And we kind of really talked about that. So John is chastising. Verse 21, he's saying, "I'm giving her time to repent." Basically, to all those who are filled with self-indulgence, there is that time to repent. Why? Jesus hasn't come to separate the sheep from the goats, as our gospel reading says. There is still that time to say, "Okay, Lord, help me to reprioritize. Help me to take care of myself, but not indulge myself. Yes, I like a little extra toys here and there, but how can I serve my fellow human beings? How can I serve the community around me? How can I serve the people at the workplace?" And now I will admit, I've been trying to challenge myself to do this, and I will admit it's very, very challenging. Many of you know I always like to pick on my own driving habits, because driving up and down Route 59 requires a lot of patience. But one of the things I've been thinking of is, how can I serve my fellow commuters by my driving? How can I be polite? How can I not get angry? That's the tough part. How can I be a good driver and serve other people while I'm driving? I'm still working on that. Fortunately, God hasn't separated the sheep from the goats yet. Yes, even your pastor sins and falls short of God's glory. We rely upon God's grace now and saying, "Lord, help me. Help me to repent of my ways. Help me to have that grace and love that you have for every single human being. Even those people that we initially wanted to say, those sinners outside, the sexually immoral that we want to label outside the church. The question is, why are they outside? Why haven't we reached out to them with God's love and forgiveness and brought them inside?" I have a feeling we're indulging ourselves a little too much. We like things comfortable, the way it is. The problem is with comfortable and the way it is that isn't the way God designed it. God designed it for us to reach out with love, to serve our neighbor, not to sit there and say, "God, thank you for the grace. I'm glad I'm saved. Too bad all those other people are going to hell." God's saying, "No, I don't want them to go to hell. I want to use you to reach out with my love to them." What does our sinful human nature say? "Lord, this is difficult. I don't want to do it." And so we have to say, "Lord, give me the strength." As one person came up to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Help me get rid of that unbelief. Help me to believe and have a stronger faith. Verse 26, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give him authority over the nations. And let me just pick that up in verse 28. I will also give him the morning star. As the cover of our bulletin depicts a star, what is that morning star? It's a reference in one essence to Jesus. He is the bright morning star. So as Jesus gives his life for us, so that we can be with him in heaven above, Jesus says, in one essence, I want you to share that gift with those around so that even more will see my love and my forgiveness. Because if we just take that gift that God has given to us and are very, very selfish and self-indulgent with that gift of love, grace, and mercy, we actually lose the gift. Because that isn't what God intended. The gift isn't just for individuals. It's for the whole world. Christ didn't die just for Missouri Synod Lutherans. He died even for the sexually immoral outside of Trinity. So what do we do to bring them into Trinity? We love them. We teach them God's word. We show them God's forgiveness in action. We show them the same love that God shows us. Verse 29, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We also need to soften our stubborn hearts and to hear this wonderful gospel message. God loves us in spite of the hardness of our heart, in spite of our darkening of God's grace, in spite of us hoarding God's forgiveness and love. He still loves us and wants us to change. And he loves those people outside. If we fail to do that, like the church or the Christians in Thyatira, in one essence, we're on the highway to the grave, eternal death and damnation. God has given us his word, drawn us together as a community of believers, because we can't do this by ourselves. We need the strength of God and we need the encouragement of fellow Christians. Yes, we enjoy God's love and forgiveness. He has forgiven us. Now we share that love and forgiveness so that even more will not go on the highway to the grave, but will be with our Lord and Savior in heaven above. So that more will have the bright morning star. So during this time of Lent, we reflect upon, yes, our own stubbornness of heart, refusal to love, refusal to forgive, and we ask the Lord to soften our heart and help us to share that love and forgiveness with those around us. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.